We welcome you, friends, again to our broadcast, the Thus Saith the Lord radio broadcast, brought to you by the Central Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Again, we want to remind you that if you should have any questions about the Bible or desire a free Bible correspondence course, you may call us at 931-215-7801 or write to the Central Church of Christ at 112 Haylong Avenue, Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, 38474. We are continuing our study at this time on Roman Catholicism. Last time we pointed out the fact that as men departed from the faith in the first few centuries following the establishment of the Lord's Church in the first century, they began to depart from New Testament teaching. They began to depart from the pattern which God gave in the New Testament known as the faith. The faith is composed of that which is New Testament teaching. We know that if we are going to be pleasing to God, we must continue in the faith grounded and settled, Colossians 1, verse 23. But Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." In a similar warning to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul says to them, beginning at verse 28, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Also, in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul warned of false apostles and deceitful workers, saying, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Now here Paul certainly does not mean that these false teachers and these false individuals actually became apostles of Christ, or that Satan himself actually became an angel, but they were transformed. In other words, they took on that appearance. But we can know those who are true and those who are not by looking to the Scriptures. "By their fruits you shall know them," Matthew 7, verse 20, Jesus said regarding the wolves that will come to you in sheep's clothing, verse 15. You compare what they teach and what they're doing with God's Word. You search the Scriptures daily whether those things are so that they are doing and teaching. The noble Bereans did this. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. The Scriptures, the Word of God, are able to equip us to know what is right and what is wrong and to detect error when it raises its ugly head. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, thoroughly furnished under every good work. But now we turn our attention to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is another warning that Paul gave, this time to the church at Thessalonica. He said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, before looking at this passage in more detail here, just shortly, I would like to say something regarding that last statement that Paul made. In the Bible, God is sometimes said to do that which he allows to be done. When man, by his own volition or choosing, elects to reject the truth, God will allow that individual to be deceived or deluded. It is said that he will have a strong delusion that he should believe a lie if he rejects the truth and he receives not the love of the truth. This is the only logical consequence of an individual who rejects the truth, and that is that he believes the lies of Satan, and that many are doing today in the religious world round about us, in that they have rejected the truth of God. Going back now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and earlier verses, in verse number 3, it teaches that Christ's second coming shall not come except there come a falling away first. Another word for falling away is apostasy. The said falling away would be identified by that man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition. That is one who is given to perishing, to being lost because of the kind of man he is. Verse 4 describes that man of sin as one who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the scripture says here. Such a personage came on the world scene historically with the Roman Pontiff, or the Pope of Rome. Brother J.W. Shepherd discusses this in his work, The Church, the Falling Away, and the Restoration. Concerning this, he writes that in the second century, they digressed so far from apostolic practice as to have one bishop over each church, and that he had his elders under his control. He was the pastor of the church. That there was a confederation of churches in the councils, he notes. He further notes the following facts, that these councils began to be held about the middle of the second century and resulted in augmenting the power of the bishops and diminishing the privileges of the people. This power on the part of the clergy was not assumed all at once, but gradually assumed as the people would bear it. These councils soon began to enact laws and claimed authority from Christ to thus dictate to the people. And he states that when the custom of holding these councils had extended over the Christian world, and the church had acquired the form of a vast republic composed of many lesser ones, certain head men were placed over it in different parts of the world. Hence came the patriarchs, and ultimately a prince of patriarchs, the Roman Pontiff, that is, the Pope. For centuries, the struggle between the Church in Rome and the state raged furiously, so that when we reach the age of Hildebrand, AD 1073 to 1085, we find plots and counterplots the order of the day. It was the height of his ambition to subordinate the state to the church and subject the church, that is the Roman Catholic Church, to the absolute authority of the Pope. Brother Ira Rice cites that by the time of Pope Innocent III, 1198 to 1216, the papacy had gained such ascendancy that the enforcement of celibacy of priests brought the entire body of the priesthood under the Pope's direct control. No longer did the Pope view himself merely as the vicar of Peter, that is, Peter's representative, but the vicar of Jesus Christ and of God himself. Overall, Pope Innocent III said, he, Jesus Christ, has set me as his vicar upon earth, so that as before Jesus every knee shall bow, in like manner to his vicar all shall be obedient, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In like manner, Pope Innocent applied Jesus' words to himself, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Thus he asserted the necessity of absolute obedience to the Pope, claiming the power to forgive sins and to bestow eternal life. Friends, this no doubt is blasphemy. For any man to claim to have the position of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church and the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23, and to have all authority or power in heaven on earth, as Jesus does have, Matthew 28, verse 18, is indeed evil and sinful. No man stands in the place of Jesus Christ today on this earth. His word is his representative, and his word, the New Testament, is all authoritative. It is able to rule throughout the true churches of Christ in this world, so that each and every one is autonomous, without a need for an earthly head. Our head and Savior is Jesus Christ, who is now on the right hand of God in heaven, Colossians 3, verse number 1, 1 Peter 3, verse 22. We look for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to one day come again. My friends, as we close today, let us look to Christ and his word as our authority and our guide. By so doing, we will not follow false religion or evil men, but we will follow that which is right and be pleasing to God our Father, and we will exalt Jesus Christ our Savior. And one day, we will hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if we will follow only that which the Lord teaches, no less and no more. We urge each and every one to hear and believe the gospel, to hearing, believing, and being baptized, Acts 18:8, upon repentance, Acts 2:38, confessing Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, Acts 8:37, then we can be baptized in his name for the remission of sins and thereby put on Christ, and be faithful servants of the Lord, and be thou faithful unto death. And Jesus said, I will give thee a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. We thank you, friends, for listening today, and we pray the Lord bless you. Thank you.